evening, wanted to focus on the topic of preparing our hearts. Because it's truth, God makes us free, and we know that God wants each of us to come to know and experience the freedom, victory, and fruitfulness that the truth can bring to our lives. But of course, the problem is a lot of times when we travel down the road of recovery, there are times where it doesn't seem that we're making a lot of progress. And sometimes we would be tempted to think, oh, well, this doesn't seem to be working. God's truth isn't bearing the fruit in the lives that I would expect. And we have a tendency to think maybe it's not worthwhile. It's not working for me for whatever reason. And we're tempted to just kind of say, okay, well, try something else. But in such times, we want to realize we don't want to lose hope. And instead, we need to recognize the value and necessity of preparing our hearts. So I'm just going to kind of explain a bit what that's about. So first off, with this is a lesson from the past. And this is concerning the life fellow in the Old Testament by the name of Rehoboam. And may not be totally familiar with the story of Rehoboam, but it's actually something with what you understand of him fairly quickly. You would consider, okay, if anyone's going to make out good, it should be him. He's got a good basis to work from, because his father was King Solomon, who was the king of the kingdom of Israel during its kind of zenith, and he was considered the wisest man of his age, wisest man that ever lived. And when you look in the Bible and you find the book of Proverbs, Solomon is the author, and he says different times, says, "My son, take heed to this." And we understand that the son that's being talked about is Rehoboam. And so Proverbs was written specifically for Rehoboam. And so he's the prince, he's going to be the king, and he has this wise father that's giving him this instruction. So you think, yes, he's prepared, this is really going to be helpful to him. But of course, when we actually read about King Rehoboam's life and his reign as king, it was actually a complete disaster. And we read about that in the first part of 1 Kings 12. And basically what happened is he got this idea in his head that, okay, I'm just going to reject the advice of all these wise men that served with my father. I'm going to listen to the guys I grew up with. The people are asking for me to kind of lower their tax burden, and I'm basically going to just jack it up to the max. And what ended up happening is basically the kingdom itself was divided. Almost all of the tribes rejected him as their king and chose someone else. And there was actually, he wanted to basically have essentially like a civil war to try to get them back. And God basically sent a prophet and said, just forget about it. This is of God. This is your own, really, in a lot of ways, saying it's your own fault. And you read his life, and he brought a lot of suffering on his people because of his bad decisions. But there's a verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 12 that sums up his life. And this is what it says. He did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. And so you think of that he had a lot to go with, a lot that could have helped him if he listened to it, but it didn't do him any good, and it was because he didn't prepare his heart. And so we see that there's a significance to that, an importance to that. And so then, learning of this, we also find the New Testament that Jesus himself gives a very important lesson on this that we want to understand, of preparing our hearts, making them ready. And so, of course, for a lot of his ministry, Jesus taught using parables. Someone's defined parable as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And basically, he would tell a story about something, he would describe something, and he would use things that were familiar to people to help them understand valuable truths, spiritual truths, things that they wouldn't necessarily grasp any other way. And so we actually find the first of the parables that Jesus gives, which he actually says himself, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any of the other ones. It's found in Matthew chapter 13. It's also found in Mark 4 and Luke 8. But we're going to focus on what it says in Matthew for tonight. But once again, just kind of with our talk last week, we see God use principles of agriculture to help us better understand the truths that he wishes to convey to us. And so this is a parable itself. He says, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell on the good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And then he says, who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. And so this is what he said, and the disciples were there, and later on he says, okay, what was that all about? We have no idea what you're talking about. And so, thankfully, Jesus gives an explanation. With some of the parables, he doesn't, and there's been a lot of people kind of trying to figure out what they say, and a lot of times they have some crazy ideas that don't make any sense. But this one, he makes it plain, and it helps us really to understand a lot of different things. And so, the interpretation comes where he says that the sower, and we see from other passages, that the sower soweth the word of God. And when one hears the word and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is which he which receives seed by the wayside. So there's the first one that was described. And then he says, but he that receiveth the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, not with joy receiveth it, yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also receives seed among the thorns, as he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So those explain the first three. But then we see the last one. He says, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And so we see with that, that us being fruitful or not being fruitful, it's not based upon the condition of the seed, but rather on the condition of the soil in which it's planted. And we want to understand that, because sometimes we look at, okay, well, this doesn't, what God's kind of laying out in his word doesn't seem to be working for me. It must be something wrong with that. It's like, well, no, we've got to see, okay, it's not the seed that's the issue. Sometimes it's the condition of the soil, and that soil being our hearts. And so it's the thought that the more we prepare our hearts to receive the seed of God's word, the more abundantly it can yield. And that's something that, as a gardener or as a farmer, it's very easy to understand. If you think of farmers where they're adding fertilizer, where they want to make sure that there's nutrients in the soil, even part of the whole crop rotation is to try to have as much of that as possible, that if your soil's good quality, it'll always produce fruitfulness. And it's the same in your garden, that you don't just throw seed out in your garden without doing anything in preparation. There's actually a lot of intensive preparation you do of working up the soil. And a lot of time, the more you work it up, the better it produces. I know one gentleman that even into his 90s, at every spring he would double dig his garden, and always he would have just an abundance of production from that garden. And he really had it down to a science, but there's so much work that he did to prepare it. And the more of the preparation, the greater the fruitfulness. And so we want to understand, when it comes to preparing our hearts, there is that necessity. It's, if I want God's Word to bear fruit in my life, I need to do some preparatory work so that it will have that effect. And we want to understand that, because unfortunately, some would try to interpret this as saying that, well, they're just, this is describing four kinds of people, and that's who they are, and that doesn't change. And that can be very unfortunate, because we would think, oh, well, I'm stuck in this, and I can never be fruitful. But that's not the case. He's laying it out. He says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And he says another place, take heed how ye hear. Because it's learning that is, how do we respond to God's Word? And it's based on how we've been prepared. And so the more preparation we do, the greater God's Word can produce fruitfulness within us. So I want to just consider three different things. And so with what he lays out with the three examples where there isn't fruit being produced, we want to examine those and realize, okay, what's the ingredient that's missing that we need to do to help us have our hearts prepared so that then God's Word can be more fruitful within us. So first of all, we can prepare our hearts by developing our capacity to understand God's Word. And so we see that with the first one, that it said that one where receives the Word but doesn't understand it, then the devil quickly snatches it away so that there's no fruit produced. And we see that in Jesus' first example, the lack of understanding prevented God's Word from taking root in the heart. Because it's like, it doesn't make any sense to you, how is it going to be able to impart life to you? If you read something, it's like, that doesn't make any sense. A lot of times it's like, well, let's continue on until I find something that does make sense. But we want to realize is that sometimes when it doesn't make sense, God's trying to help us, that he's trying to get us, okay, there's something there that's really important that I want to challenge your thinking. I want you to dig deeper, and I've got a hidden gem of wisdom there that you're going to overlook if you just kind of give up and skip over. And so we want to understand the things of the Bible can often be hard to understand, but the more we study and meditate on God's Word and pray for the Holy Spirit's illumination, God can make it clear to us. And so it's something that we want to not give up so easily when something is difficult to understand. We know, okay, this is truth, this is going to help me, I want to understand what this means. And there's, like, it's kind of the thing, there's sometimes where the phrase itself is not that complicated, but it's so full of meaning, it just, I can't really appreciate all that's there. Like, I know I've been going through 1 John right now, and John writes very plainly. He doesn't use fancy terms or language, but just figuring out, okay, how does this actually all fit together and work? And so we want to learn that, and a lot of times the Holy Spirit, that as we pray, as we meditate, say, Lord, I don't understand this, can you please show me? That as we mull things over, a lot of times it can help. And so it's the thing, it's sort of, we read the Bible and it's like, well, I struggle with some of the words, even understanding them. Well, I can work to increase my vocabulary. I can find resources that can help me understand what this word is. I can get into that habit of dissecting and defining so that I'm breaking it up, the word, so that then I can make it so it is understandable to me, so then I can make it mine and have it make difference in my life. Because so often what happens is we're not sure about something, but then we look and it's like, oh, this is what this means. And it can open up a whole new perspective on different things. And so we want to be willing to do that. It takes time and effort, but it's well worth both. But a lot of times what it is, it is like it's treasure. You got to dig for it. It's not going to just be lying there on the surface. And I know I was reading Proverbs 2 this morning, and it talks about how we're to cry after knowledge, we're to seek it as silver, search for it as for hid treasures. That there's that to be that just kind of drive and thrust where it's like, I want this, I have to find out what this means because I know it can help me in my life. And so we take that time. Yes, it might be hard to understand, but we work to develop our capacity to understand God's Word. That helps it to become more fruitful in our lives. Then the next one is we prepare our hearts by strengthening our determination to persevere despite difficulties. And we see that with the next one where it's the idea is that the word is initially received with joy, with excitement, and lasts for a while, but there's no root. And what happens where a time of persecution and tribulation comes for the word's sake, person gets offended and stops continuing on. And we want to understand that often when we're on the right track in life, the devil does all he can to use both the challenges of life and the scorn of others to discourage us from continuing. And this is kind of the sad thing, is that for many, there can be kind of that crab bucket mentality where, this person is bettering themselves, this person is climbing out of this mess, we can't have that, we've got to pull them back down to our level again. And it's sad because a lot of times we're doing something good, we're bettering ourselves, we're making progress, and you'll have someone that just has to say something that's just, what's the use of that, or what's the point of that, or that's not going to make any difference, you'll be back in the same place you were before. And it's just very discouraging words where people just, why they feel the need to knock you down, but sometimes it's just because they're feeling maybe guilty themselves, and they figure, well, if you make progress, then that's going to continue to convict me that I need to start making changes, and I don't want to do that, and so I'm just going to try to knock you down so that then I'm content where I'm at. And you can see that again and again in different relationships and connections with people that we have. It can be very frustrating, and it can be, well, what's the use? Why continue on? This doesn't seem to be getting me anywhere. And that's kind of the frustrating thing too when we're dealing with bad habits that we've had trying to gain victory. Sometimes it's where we're trying to overcome a bad reputation that we've gotten, or just where we maybe lost people's trust trying to gain it back. And that can be a difficult thing. And if we don't make progress quickly enough, we can get discouraged and think, well, what's the use? I'm never going to get past that certain point. But the thing is, we need to learn to wait upon the Lord. Because we talked about that last week. We don't want to be wearied while doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That there will be fruit produced in time. We always reap later than we sow, and we don't want to give up. And so we trust that we will have that harvest of good things in time to come. And as we face trials, whether it's challenges of life, whether it's challenging people in life, we need to say, Lord, I need your strength and I need your help so we can continue on our path to recovery. It talks about in Colossians of how we need to be rooted in him. That's we need to have that where he is our foundation so that when difficulties come, we have that resiliency developed, that it's not going to knock us off the good steps we've been taking. Then thirdly, we prepare our hearts by recognizing and rooting out those things in our lives which are limiting our potential for fruitfulness. And we see that, of how it talks about the seed that fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and it choked the word, so it became unfruitful. And I think all of us have experienced that with dealing with weeds, that farmers are always, there's various herbicides that are sprayed, trying to deal with different things. I know kochia is always one that has been a great struggle as of late for people to try to deal with. And it just, you have these things that grow up that can very much limit your fruitfulness. I know for us last year, of course, we were away in June, so we planted the garden and then came back to see this jungle. But it was, we planted two rows of peas, and what happened is basically there was all these other weeds that came up around them, and so we actually kind of fished around. We found like maybe half a dozen little pea plants that were just struggling to survive, but they're just all crowded out by these other weeds, and we hadn't been there to pick them. And so we didn't get any peas at all, really, this last year. And so that's what happens, that weeds come up and it chokes out what you want to grow. And that happens in our gardens, it happens in our hearts as well. But there's things that come up that can be like that for us. And so this is something we want to understand too, that there's sort of, you can kind of really see the devil's three steps. At first he wants us to just kind of give up too quickly, and just the seed is sown, but then he wants to snatch it away so it doesn't bear any fruit. If that doesn't happen, then he wants to discourage us. But if he can't discourage us, then what he'll try to do is distract us. And so often there's so many things that he tries to bring across. And it's actually interesting, Pilgrim's Progress, there's this place, if you read through that, it's called Vanity Fair. And what it is, it's this place where there's all these different things that are offered to the pilgrims to try to prevent them from continuing on their journey to the celestial city. That all these different things that they can get distracted by. And that's really, we understand the truth in that. But it's the thing we want to understand. We only have so much time and energy in the day to spend. And it's only 24 hours, and usually we have to sleep for at least 8 of those. And there's only so much we can do. And especially the older we get, we don't have boundless energy. There's times where we get fatigued and we'd like to do more, but we just physically and mentally we're not at a place where we can do that. And so we have to make choices. Sometimes they're hard choices. We have to say, what's most important? What do I have to make secondary? This I can fit in if I have time, but there's some essential things I must do. And so it is necessary to make priorities, because seemingly good things can become weeds that steal time and energy away from what's most important. And it talks about that. It talks about the cares of this world, where just living life and, oh, I need this, I need this, I need this. Sometimes deceitfulness of riches, and that's kind of the lie that we think, well, if I just have this much money, or I'll have kind of financial stability, I'll have peace, life will be good if I get to this certain level, and we get to that level and we find I still don't have peace, I got to keep going. And it talks in other places of just the lust of other things, not necessarily bad things. It just, we have desires for all these things. And kind of what happened is we can, a lot of times, go kind of madly off in all directions and never really accomplish anything. Or we can just have these different things in our life where we think, well, this isn't that big, but it's still time or focus here, still time or focus there, and it can really take away. And so it's examining things. Sometimes it can even be something as simple as like, okay, well, how much time do I spend on social media? Am I using my time wisely, or am I finding ways where it's actually taking away from what could be more valuable time? And it's kind of what we talked about a couple weeks ago, choosing, approving those things that are excellent, is we have to evaluate. It's like if I only have a limited amount of time, I need to make this day count. How can I do that in the best way possible? And so we want to use that. And really, as it talks about redeeming the time, things that seem to have been wasted, that we find a purpose for it and make use of it. And so these are different things that we develop our understanding of God's Word. We work in trying to get our determination, our perseverance, continue to have that where I'm going to focus and I'm not going to give up. But then as well, where we realize, okay, there's some weeds in my life that I need to pull if I'm going to be fruitful. And so, the thought is, the more prepared our hearts are to receive the good seed of God's Word, the greater the benefits we'll experience as a result. And so we have that choice of our hearts, and we want to examine our hearts, see the condition that they're in, see what changes need to be made. If we allow our hearts to grow hard to God and His Word, it's just the same if we're trying to plant seed in hard ground. It's not going to be fruitful. But what we need to do is yield our hearts to Him. And as we do that, we'll see the transformation that we seek, that He'll bring that to us. And this is a verse just going to close with, Hosea 10, verse 12, where it says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you." And that's, sometimes we want to just look at our lives and examine things and say, okay, is there a place in my heart where it's hard ground, where I've just not really let God into that area, I've been holding on to this, and I need to give it to Him. That it's that idea, we break up that foul ground, we make it ready for Him to put it, to sow that seed within us so that it can bear fruit. And so the seed that He gives us produces good fruit, but we do have to have our hearts prepared so that we can receive it. All right, so any thoughts as we conclude? No? All right.